An arrest has been made in the case of kidnapped Anchorage barista Samantha Koenig. Anchorage Police Department spokeswoman Anita Shell says two Anchorage detectives traveled to Lufkin, Texas, and have taken in a person of interest in the case. He is Israel Keys, a 34-year-old construction contractor.
We sent two detectives down to Lufkin, Texas, to work with their local law enforcement, to include the Texas Rangers and multiple law enforcement agencies in and around Lufkin, as well as the FBI. And on Tuesday, then, arrest was made of Israel Keys.
Shell says she's not able to release details of what led police to Keys.
That is part of the open, ongoing investigation. In fact, the arrest warrant was sealed to not compromise the integrity of this case.
Keys is being held in a federal facility in Beaumont, Texas. Israel Keys operated a business in Anchorage called Keys Construction. Shell says there's no information as to Koenig's whereabouts, although police are hopeful that she is still alive because no body has been found. Shell says anyone with information relating to Israel Keys or had business dealings with Keys Construction should contact them. Kidnapped victim Koenig was abducted on February 1st from a coffee shack where she was working. The State House last night approved spending more than $9.5 billion for the operations of state government, some $6 billion of it in state revenue. House Finance Committee co-chairman Bill Thomas said the plan would require oil prices to average about $100 a barrel next year to avoid deficit spending. Thomas didn't disagree with critics who said they were spending too much money.
We've tried to slow government by spending down and reducing the governor's proposal. But even so, budgets are still huge, and at least we made an effort at it. Mr. Speaker, I believe this is a responsible budget that meets the needs of the Alaskans while keeping an eye to the future.
Thomas told members that the budget spends $1.5 billion on education. Health and social services expenses total more than $2.6 billion. Anchorage Democrat Les Guerra said there were some things in the budget with which he disagreed. However, he liked a lot of it as well.
The budget turned out okay in my mind. The budget, I think, is one that moves Alaska forward. At a roughly 4% increase over last year, it's roughly at the rate of inflation and population growth. So I think it's a responsible budget.
Anchorage's Mike Dugan and four other Democrats rejected the plan. Dugan reinforced the comments he made when the bill moved out of the Finance Committee. He said it simply spends too much money.
I'd really like to vote for this budget. You know, I'd like to reward all the hard work that's been done, all the difficult choices that have been made, and all the good that this is going to do. But, Mr. Speaker, I wouldn't live with myself if I did that and then went out the door to leave everybody else to pay the price for what I'd done.
The operating budget now goes to the Senate for consideration there, and then a conference committee to work out the differences the two bodies will likely have on the bill. The legislature approved a citation honoring the late Guy Buddy Tabor, who died last month in his home at 63 years old. Citation notes that Tabor was born and raised in Roanoke, Virginia, and made his way to Alaska in 1967. He worked for the Postal Service and the Alaska Railroad and on the Trans-Alaska Pipeline. He spent a year in Mountain Village on the Yukon River. All along the way, he played music with enough original work to fill 9 albums. The citation says Tabor's lyrics were gritty and full of real-world experiences, and that his folksy balladeer style often featured just him and his guitar. When the Alaska Supreme Court issued its ruling late Wednesday requiring the Alaska Redistricting Board to draw up a new voting district map for the state, justices also laid out a timeline for the process. Two Fairbanks area voters challenged the board's original plan, claiming it disenfranchises them. Dan Bronis has more on the Supreme Court's ruling and where we go from here.
The Supreme Court has ordered the Alaska Redistricting Board to draw the new map using a process set out in a redistricting case ruling 20 years ago. It puts emphasis on adherence to state constitutional requirements of contiguity, compactness, and socioeconomic integration, with deviations only for federally mandated protection of the Alaska Native vote. Redistricting Board Director Taylor Bickford says the board focused on sorting out complicated rural districts to protect the Native vote, But the court has mandated a different approach.
Essentially what the court has said is, no, you need to draw a plan that ignores federal law, ignores the Federal Voting Rights Act, is not necessarily drawn to protect Alaska Native voting rights. You just need to draw a plan that complies with the Alaska Constitution, and then from there determine if changes need to be made to comply with federal law.
New voter district maps are required to reflect updated census data every 10 years, and there's always legal wrangling over whether they comply with state and federal law. The Supreme Court review includes a few case specifics. It gives merit to the city of Fairbanks having its own Senate district and to two sprawling House districts, one of which taps urban Fairbanks voters to bolster largely rural Native areas. The Fairbanks North Star Borough is an amicus curiae in the case. Assistant Borough Attorney Jill Dolan says the Supreme Court ruling is good for plaintiffs.
It's going to force the board to take a hard look and to actually make findings as to why it's deviating from the Constitution. So with respect to House District 38, which the trial court found to be not socioeconomically integrated, it will require the board to actually take a look at that and justify that.
The Supreme Court ruling sends the case back to Superior Court to be carried out. Dolan says the court has already set up a process and timeline.
It gives parties until April 2nd to submit proposed plans to the board, and then it gives the board till April 13th to file a notice and a request for entry of final judgment with the court, and then there's some other additional deadlines relating to objections and replies. And the court indicates that it expects to issue a decision regarding the new plan by May 15th.
Dolan says the tight timeline appears designed to keep the process on track and produce a finalized voter district map by a June 1st candidate filing deadline. If that doesn't happen, the Supreme Court ruling says the board can petition to use its contested plan for the 2012 election cycle. In Fairbanks, I'm Dan Bross.
Petersburg city leaders are encouraged by the state Supreme Court order sending the redistricting board back to the drawing table. The Southeast community originally challenged the board's plan on a number of issues before largely pulling out of the litigation because of the cost. Petersburg city manager Steve Giesbrecht says the Supreme Court's order has prompted local officials to revisit the issue.
We're kind of enthusiastic in the sense that we feel it at least opens the door to give the city council here in Petersburg an opportunity to say, hey, let's take another look at Southeast, and particularly our district.
Under the redistricting board's current plan, Petersburg would be in a House district with downtown Juneau, Skagway, and a handful of other small Southeast communities. And Debbie Eben is getting ready for the Miss Alaska pageant with a look that she probably won't see among her competitors. The reigning Miss Chugiak Eagle River chose as her public service project to raise money for children's cancer research through the St. Baldrick's Foundation. Eben promised to shave her head if she met her fundraising goal, and her brown locks just came off. The 23-year-old student now wears her silver crown on a head of stubble, but she's okay with that. She says the underlying message for children who lose their hair to cancer treatments is that it's okay to be bald. Eben hasn't decided whether to grow her hair out or keep the style for the statewide competition in June. And the Juneau St. Baldrick's event is planned for tomorrow afternoon at TK McGuire's at the Prospector Hotel here in downtown Juneau.